Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Around Australia, this is Open House, and I've got a little intro to read about the next topic. But before we do that, the guy who's in here to talk about the next topic wants to do a weather report. Jeff Crabtree.
I think that my next career may be in the media.
Do you?
I'm hoping.
Okay.
You know.
So you want to, this is work experience for you. You want to try out?
This is my showreel.
Okay.
This is an audition. Let's consider this an audition,
all right,
please.
You've got to be a national weather, of course.
National weather report. Here
please
it goes.
Go.
All right, Australia for Monday, the 27th of October. It's looking really good for all of you, except possibly Melbourne and Hobart. Melbourne, 23 degrees with some showers or 2 in the morning, but clearing later in the afternoon. And Hobart, showers developing, I guess. Hobart, 25 degrees, showers developing. I guess, Hobart, you're getting Melbourne's poor weather. But for Sydney, it'll be 29 degrees, mostly fine and mostly sunny. Uh-huh. Brisbane, 27 degrees and fine, but, you know, beautiful one day, perfect the next. And for Perth, a 23 degrees, fine day, possible late shower. For Adelaide, the ground will open up. Slimy creatures will come from the deep. Lava is going to pour out. The oceans will turn to blood. But the rest of the afternoon will be fine with morning with scattered cloud across the southern half of the state. 23 degrees. Canberra, 29 degrees. Mostly fine, but a little bit of political controversy. And that's the weather here on Open House Nationwide.
Jeff Crabtree, the new weather man.
Thank you.
Well, that's very lovely. Would you like to talk about the other event now as well?
I would.
Okay.
Was my journey really necessary?
Well, I hope it was.
Yes.
Because we're going to talk about social conscience as music and the fact that it's inspired some of rock's great music. Some of them may well have been weathermen as well, but Bob Dylan, Bob Geldof, Bono, Midnight Oil, Christian bands like Third Day, Jars of Clay, they've all championed the poor and oppressed. But now, I guess you could say, the Australian church, maybe even the worldwide church, is kind of joining the cause or maybe rejoining the cause. So this is the Heart, Life, Voice Project, being launched this week, initiated by the Australian Micah Challenge campaign, which, of course, is the church-based arm of the Make Poverty History campaign. And you and Mark Evans have produced this project, this album. Going to launch it very soon.
Yeah.
And a whole range of artists that you've drawn, basically pulled together to actually do it. So welcome to Open House.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's actually begin.
We've begun with the weather. Look, I'm sorry, I just burped on radio.
Yeah.
And that was delicious chili con carne that I had earlier this evening.
Yeah, thank you.
I can smell it, yes.
Let me just give a bit of a clip as to some of the things you're actually doing with this project, because it's very, very nice. This is actually a guy called Phil Lager. It's called Beggar's Hand. Very nice work.
There's a place deep within your heart. It's full of kindness for the least. I hear you say what you've done for these, well, you've done it up to me. Would you be my hands and feet? So I held the beggar's hand.
Phil Lager, and that's one of the songs on the Heart, Life, Voice album.
Track one, I think.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Where did the whole idea for the actual album come about?
Well, it's a preposterous idea, if you ask me, Sheridan, that we should actually act like the Bible says we should act.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what we're suggesting here?
Scandalous
thought that we should actually do something that Jesus said. It actually came, well, it's come from a number of places. One of the places is that Mark Evans actually published a book called Open Up the Doors. Oh. It's a research academic work, but it's research based on praise and worship. And in his research showed that only 2% of the songs being sung in churches were about social justice issues,
yes,
whereas the Bible's got over 2,000 verses about it. You know.
Yes. Now, that wasn't always the case, though. Where did the disconnect happen and at what stage?
Yeah, well, I think there's been, in a sense, an abandonment, if you like, of the hymns, which had a kind of a really broad cross-section of topics, you know. It's a general abandonment of the hymns. In terms of primarily music style, I think most people left them because you know, people want to hear contemporary music in their church.
Mm.
And so what's actually happening is, if you like, I think the language of the contemporary church music is now beginning to expand, and it's only a recent thing.
Yes.
So I would think the last 20 or 30 years.
Yes, it's interesting. Because you, in your role as creative director of the CCC, Oxford Falls Creative Arts Department.
Yeah, I'm the principal of the Arts College, which is not quite the same as the Grand Imperial Majesty. However, you can refer to me as Your Majesty simply.
I'll bow as well.
No, bowing is not necessary. That would be an act of worship. And I'm mere mortal, no matter what people say.
But it is interesting that we have kind of lost that idea. And then when, yes, contemporary music came into the Christian church, it really was very much about me and God. Excuse me, God and me, and we've left out the kind of me and others aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing to remember in all of this is that church music is not... we didn't arrive at all the hymns all at once, you know, so there's taken hundreds of years have evolved, and out of all the music that's been written over the hundreds of years for the church, what survived, I guess, amounted to the best of it.
Mm.
And so there were whole seasons where there wasn't stuff like that. I mean, of course, then you get a song like Amazing Grace written by John Newton, which is really a personal testimony of redemption.
Yes.
From
social injustice.
Correct.
And
from being a perpetrator of social
perpetrator
injustice.
Perpetrator of it.
And then, of course, you've got the whole Wesleyan thing. And so there have been seasons. And I think, look, we have to remember that music is not sacred, but what it really is prophetic. That is, it actually speaks to the now. And it should speak to the now in the life of the church. It should speak to the... what is God's wanting to say now, and what is God telling forth, and then as well speaking to the future. You know, prophecy is not always about the future; it's about
what needs to happen right
now. The now, what's the now?
Yeah.
And I think actually, what's happening in churches in the last 2 to 3 years actually is a reawakening of that issue, and it's not just, as you were saying, it's not just people like Bono. I don't think it's that we're getting on the bandwagon. It's just that...
That's been my concern, but I think that there is a deeper heart that actually I'm seeing. But there's churches that I know right across Australia that are getting involved in social justice issues. I never would have dreamt that they actually would, and I hope that it's not a trend, but what I'm seeing is some great work coming out of it.
Yeah,
so
well,
I think
it's... Totally. I'm totally. I'm even in our church, particularly our young adults community, change community, they're called them. That's been their thing.
Yeah.
And they are incredibly involved. In fact, actually, we are the Arts College and the young adults are producing a production at the end of November called Stolen, and it's about human trafficking.
Yeah.
And that would represent a big change from a normal kind of things that we would be doing.
Mm.
But that's typical of what's going on. When you say, though, that, you know, you've got to remember that the Salvation Army, for example, it's never been out of fashion for the Salvation Army to be talking about human trafficking issues, social justice issues, the poor, and in the Catholic Church, the Jesuits. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people who have never, St. Vincent de Paul, they've never given up on those things.
Yes.
It's just that it becomes in the top 10 landscape.
Yes.
It slips off the top of the charts, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
But then things, they have a way of seasons, have a way of changing. Yeah. And I think we're at a time of changing.
So how did you bring the artists together then for the Heart Life Voice Project?
Yes.
Because it's actually a bit of an international roll call, really.
Yes. I'm still trying to work that out now, actually, how we actually did that. Having done it, I'm still...
You're the man behind it, but you're still trying to remember.
No, I think I wasn't. No, Mark Evans was really significant in that as well. I think what actually happened is through Micah Challenge, we actually issued a call for songs, and so songs started to emerge. People, because the social justice or the social action part of the church is still pretty much alive and well. It's just they haven't been making necessarily, with the exception of the Salvation Army, they haven't been making a lot of contemporary styled music.
Mm.
And so what actually emerged is a whole lot of these writers submitted things, and we had about 70 or 80 submissions. And then in addition to that, we contacted people we knew who were contemporary praise and worship writers and asked them to submit. And out of that, we had our mix. And, you know, so that guy, I feel like, for example, that's his thing. I mean, that's one of his big things. And there's another guy called Steve Bevis who was singing one of his songs tonight. I mean, he's well known in those circles. We've got a girl called Michelle Kay, who's also well-known. She's in part of the... she's a significant worship leader in the Salvation Army. So she's got a song on there.
Yeah. Well, I want to explore this a little bit further, some of the styles you brought in. We'll have another couple of cuts from the album, then I want to hear from you.
Right.
So get ready.
I'm ready. I'm an attention-seeking junkie. I'm ready when you are.
And a professional at it. Okay, back in a minute with Jeff Crabtree and Co. We're talking about the Heart Life Voice Project from Micah Challenge, and this is Open House. Jeff Crabtree is in the studio with us. We're going to hear from him soon. He's one of the guys trying to restore the theme of justice into church-based music. And there's some wonderful songs on this. This was one from Stephanie Vanden Heel.
Fabulous singer. She's a fabulous singer. In fact, you know, she should take it up for a living.
Yes. Of course, a member of the band Garage Hymnal.
Correct.
So that song there, Cry for Mercy. Call for Mercy. There's been a range of different musical styles actually on the album.
Yeah.
And which is nice. It's nice actually because then, you know, your own one's very, very blues-centred, which is, of course, you know, really where you kind of come from personally.
Well, it's the only thing I can do.
It's the only thing you can do. Mm. I think most people would know that. Why is it that musicians can seem to rouse people to action, can actually bring that call to action in such a powerful way? We're thinking of the Bonos. They have just in the last few years been able to do so much, more than politicians, sometimes more than church leaders.
Well, I think politicians are debating, and they're using debate. And I think and this is not to denigrate these things, which is a very important part of our society. Preaching often uses the same technique. It's a debate, it's an argument. Whereas musicians, not just musicians, artists, you know, playwrights, songwriters, we're actually telling stories. And storytelling is actually Jesus' big method, actually. It's Matthew 13, 34, as the scripture says, he actually was speaking to the crowds. He spoke to them in parables, and he didn't speak to them without speaking in parables.
Mm.
And so there's this suggestion in Matthew, it's a pretty strong implication that when he was actually speaking to large groups of people, he actually didn't debate, he didn't really argue. He argued with the Pharisees, Jesus, you know.
Mm.
But when he was dealing with the crowds, he would just tell stories. And the other thing about it is that the music itself is not an intellectual thing. Music is an emotional thing. And so what music does is touch people. People make decisions emotionally, don't they, Sharon? Really, actually, when you think about it,
many of them are.
Well, I mean, you buy things. It's an emotional. It's not reason. It's not rational. And salesmen know that, and that's why there are ads.
Mm-hmm.
We make decisions emotionally, and it's great to be able to take those that power of the emotional thing, which I think the church has kind of avoided for many years. We've sort of tucked it away and gone, we're not really going to deal with this.
Mm.
You know, it's too scary, too risky. It's just deal with the intellectual. Let's deal with good theology.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to have good theology. It's all good, but people make decisions, I think, primarily out of an emotional thing, and the music awakens that. And then if you're telling the right story, if you're telling the God story at that moment, and then it actually ties the emotion into the right course of action. And that's why movies are so powerful.
And that's the key. I mean, you've just brought the right together there. You've just brought the emotional and the rational. You've brought the subjective and the truth together. It's actually then taking people in the right course of action.
Well, yeah, and my argument would be that if you actually, it's possible to take them in an improper course of action, and a lot of art does.
Mm.
A lot of, you know, art outside, you know, there are movies that, you know, advocate, you know, sort of lifestyles that my wife wouldn't want me to live, you know, neither would I really, but, you know, there it is. You know, so it's possible to get people to do the wrong.
Yes, so it's a powerful tool. So the Heart Life Voice album, at the end of the day, if you had your dream come true, what would you like it to achieve?
Oh, world domination.
Yes.
Mm.
Uh-huh. And glory for you.
Oh, no, I wouldn't take any of the glory. I'd just be happy to.
You'd just take the credit.
I'd just receive the royalty checks.
Yes.
And I think what I really would like to be able to, I think what we really would like to see, I think it would be wonderful in my wildest dreams, I would love to see some of those songs make it on a secular radio. I would love to see a proportion of these songs sung in churches, and I think that's actually the big objective for Micah Challenge.
It's not just an album to listen to, really.
It's not just an album for congregational use. There are songs that at first listen don't seem good for congregational use, but they actually are fabulous for congregational use. Given that, you know, 20 years ago we would never have considered using singing Hillsong songs in congregational use, and now they're everywhere.
Mm.
So, and the same with Christian City Church songs. Our songs are, you know, everywhere, but we would never have
Thought that.
Oh, no, we were preached against, you know. Mm. But I'm used to being preached against.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's become a way of life for me. So I would think that a great objective would be around the world, churches picking up some of these songs.
Yes.
And singing them in meetings, in the congregational setting, as a call to action for the church to take up, take up a stand against, you know, for the issues of social justice, for the issues of the gospel,
yes,
that go beyond the issues of personal salvation. We're called to be redeemed as individuals, but I think we're called to actually redeem the world as well.
Mm. Okay. Well, you and Mark Evans haven't just been guiding hands behind the actual album. You have also contributed a song to it. So Cry Out for Justice, the inspiration behind this?
Yes, actually, it's a Steve Bevers song. Mark insisted on me singing it. I had to go. I was taken kicking and screaming into the studio and had to be, I'd be drugged, basically. I fell asleep and under hypnotic suggestion sang the song and then woke up and was all over.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Nothing I could do about it. No, he just suggested, look, mate, you want to sing this song? And I went, let me think about that for a minute. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a Steve Bevers song and it's the original version of the song is I suppose it's best described as much more like a political, in a political theatre kind of song style, you know, the protest song.
Mm.
It's from that Bob Dylan era, the Joan Baez protest style. And we just sort of made it, we turned it into a little bit more contemporary, you know, sort of swampy, bluesy thing.
Mm.
So we'll do the radio edit version tonight.
Why not? Okay, all right.
So, Steve, if you're listening, that's... while we're losing one verse, you know, we've really got to keep it down to 3 minutes.
Well, with Ryan Smith accompanying on guitar, this is Jeff Crabtree. It's called Cry Out for Justice, and it is on Open House across the nation.
Yeah, poor cry out for justice. justice. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing's for sure, heaven hears their cry. Heaven hears their cry. One thing's for sure. One thing's for sure, heaven will reply.
There you go.
Well, there you go. An applause from the audience.
There is one person who applauds.
Thanks very much. That's for all that applause. I mean, actually, as my friend Dave Holmes actually has observed, that my singing lacks melody but has much feeling.
Absolutely love the growl. Hey, thanks for both of you for joining us tonight. It's been wonderful to have you in the open house. And you know, I just really, you know, hope that the Heart Life Voice project actually goes wonderfully well.
Well, are we, and look out for it. I mean, there's a website, micachallenge.org.au. It's all one word except for the .org.au. M-I-C-A-H challenge, Micah challenge. And there's a launch, actually.
There is, indeed. This is for Sydney listeners. Sorry, Melbourne folks. Sorry, Brisbane folks, Perth folks, at the rest. I guess you'll get round at some stage.
Melbourne is apparently coming.
Okay, Melbourne's coming. And Adelaide
soon as that
soon.
Weather clears up. Yeah. and Adelaide is on a Saturday somewhere.
Okay.
Coming up.
All right. Well, for Sydney folks, this Thursday, Tap Gallery Darlinghurst. This Thursday, Tap Gallery Darlinghurst. You do have to register as well. In fact, there's another website to do that, heartlifevoice.org. And that's where you can find out the details on the Adelaide and Melbourne and other little releases
as
well.
Watch that website, Micah Challenge, and okay. I'll be up to speed with all the developments.
Jeff Crabtree, Ryan Smith, thank you both.
Thank you, Sharon.
Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.